This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Father, everybody help me sing it. I stretch my hand to thee. No wish you just said, if thou withdraw thyself from me. Sometimes you just have to moan it. When you don't have nobody. Take your Bibles and turn it today to the book of St. John, chapter 5. These are the words that fell from the lips of one of Jesus' beloved disciples as he wrote to the world the Gospel of John, the fourth gospel. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Everybody say impotent. Of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time, a certain season, into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been long time in that case. Jesus said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me." Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I want to talk for a few minutes on this subject, when the impotent met the omnipotent. Thank you. You may be seated. When the impotent met the omnipotent. The text that we have embarked upon tonight deals with one of the most important miracles in the life of Christ. It was this miracle that put Jesus on the road to Calvary. There were some other miracles that put him on the cross, such as raising Lazarus from the dead. But this miracle put Jesus on the road to Calvary. God has a way to bring you to your fulfillment in life. I don't know what will put you on the road to your destiny, but God has a way of bringing you to fulfill your purpose and his purpose in life. The Bible tells us that Jesus, while in Jerusalem, he decided to gather among all of the Jews and his friends and associates during that time of a festival year called the Passover, when Jews were reminiscing of the things they had gone through when they were in the wilderness with Moses, when they were delivered from Egypt. And as they reminisce and gather together there in Jerusalem, instead of Jesus just continuing to mingle among the crowd, he pulled aside and decided to go by the hospital. Some folk, when they have fun, don't want to go by the hospital. When some people are eating, drinking, and merry, they don't think about the hospital. When some folk are having a good time, the last place they want to think about is the hospital. Because at the hospital, you smell odors you don't want to smell. At the hospital, you see sights that make your stomach crawl. At the hospital, it challenges your Christian character. At the hospital, it tells me what you made up out of. how much do you care for people who need caring? And Jesus decided to pull away from the crowd and go visit what you call the house of mercy. The house where people were lame, impotent, blind, and deaf at Bethesda. There should be a Bethesda in every community. And we need somebody to come by and issue out a labor of love. Don't ever get so busy you don't go by the house of mercy. Don't ever get so high on the horse that you don't think about people at the house of mercy. And Jesus, as busy as he was, took time to be an in-touch committee. Jesus, as busy as he was, never got out of touch with the people who needed touching. All of us ought to be a part of the in-touch committee. When you're praying for somebody, you're in the in-touch committee. When you go by and visit the sick, you're in the in-touch committee. When you help somebody on the Jericho Road, you got to touch them. You got to pick them up, put them on your horse, pour in your wine, give up some of your oil, and give up some of your money and pay for their hotel room. That's what I call the in-touch crowd. And some of you are so high and so holy, you out of touch. You're not in touch with what God wants you to do. But I'm so grateful that Jesus was still in touch with humanity. And the Bible said Jesus, the omnipotent God, the transcendent, immutable God, the God who made us, walking among us, went to the hospital. And there, when Jesus walked by Bethesda, he saw five porches. And he saw a man that was lame, that had been on his bed 38 years. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to be in bad shape. The Bible said the man was impotent. That is to say, when you're impotent, you can't function. Now, when you're impotent, you want to function in your mind, but your body won't let you. I'm talking about impotent folk. You see, when you're impotent, the cerebellum has to send messages down to the adullam. And once the cerebellum, which is your brain center, sends the message down to the adullam, it then transforms those messages to your muscles and make you react to what the cerebellum told the adullam. So your mind may say act, but your body say no. Some of you got your cerebellum right, but you don't have your adullam right. So that makes you impotent. You ever heard of somebody being impotent? They want to function, but can't. It's not that they don't want to. They may love you to death. But the adullam say you can't function. Because the adullam won't send the message to the muscles and make the blood rush where it needs to be. Come on, y'all know about that Viagra. That's helping out the adullam for impotent people. You all understand what impotent means now. When somebody say you're impotent, it means you want to function, but you can't function. And I know I got some impotent church members. Because your mind said give it, but your hand said no. I know I got some impotent folk in here. Because your mind says speak to your neighbor, but your body said no. I know I got some impotent folk in the house. Your mind say you ought to treat folk right, but your body say walk all by. See, when you're impotent, your mind said do it, but the body said I can't. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're not impotent. I'm talking about spiritual impotent. Come on with me now. The man wanted to do something. The man wanted to get in the water, but he could not get in the water because his mind said one thing, but his body said no. So he was impotent. But the impotent in this text was able to do what he never could do because he met the omnipotent. So if you're impotent tonight, if you can't say amen, you need to meet the omnipotent. If you don't know how to love your fellow man, you need to meet the omnipotent. If you can't pay your bills because your pocketbook is impotent, you need to meet the omnipotent. We need to meet the omnipotent. Omnipotent means all powerful, all knowing. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all knowing. God is self-sufficient. He didn't come from nowhere because he is the somewhere and the nowhere. God stands all by himself. He doesn't need no help. He is help. He doesn't need no support. He is the support. God is omnipotent. And when Jesus met this man who was impotent at the pool of Bethesda, one good thing I like to say about this man that I want to draw out from it, that a negative side people been painting about the man at the pool of Bethesda, but I want to say some good things about him. The good thing I want to say about the man, he was there. The Bible said, and there was a lame man there. The only reason why he met the omnipotent, he was there when the omnipotent showed up. Some of you are impotent, but you won't get in the way of a blessing. You have to be there. The man was there. Now, I got a whole lot of problem with myself with some of these folk who are always talking about I wasn't there, but my spirit was there. I got a problem with folk who are always going around saying, your child, I wasn't there, but my heart was there. When somebody tell me I wasn't there, but my heart was there, I want to see you at the funeral home. Because anytime you show up somewhere and your heart is somewhere else, you're a dead man. There is no excuse for not being there. Haven't you heard folks say, I wasn't there, but my spirit was there? But when that mailman passed your house with your check, did you send your spirit? What is the story told about a young man who was in love with a young lady, and he went off in the army and he told her, baby, I got to go to the service, but I'm going to stay in touch. So every day he sent her a love letter, 365 letters. He sent her a love letter every day telling her how much he loved her. But she messed around and fell in love with the mailman. Because the mailman was there.
I like that reference.
You can't beat being there. You can't work on miracle if you're not there. What happened to Thomas, the reason why he doubted Jesus? Thomas was not there. So when they told Thomas, we seen the Lord, he said, I don't believe it. You become a doubter when you're not there. What happened to the five foolish virgins? They were not there. Am I right about that? You got to be there for God to bless you. Some of you want a miracle, but you won't stay at the pool. If you want God to take you to another level, you got to stay at the pool. And then see some folk, when they can't have their way, they leave the pool. When some folk can't get the miracle that they want, they leave the pool. When some folk can't operate, they leave the pool. When some folk can't lead their favorite song every Sunday, they leave the pool. When some deacon can't pray every Sunday, they leave the pool. When some preachers can't preach what they want to preach, they leave the pool. When some singers can't sing what they want to sing, they get mad and leave the pool. When some folks say something bad about some of you, or cut you down, or won't speak to you, you get mad and leave the pool.
What about the commitment? Oh, no, no, this is it.
But when you leave the pool, you leave your blessing. When you get out of your auxiliary, you're getting out of the way of your blessing. When you get mad and leave the pool, you are losing your healing. You are losing your anointing. You are losing your power. Look at your neighbor and say, stay at the pool. Now, another thing about this man, he stayed at the right pool. The reason why some of you all can't get healed and you can't get no miracle, you're at the wrong pool. Come on with me now. Amen. The man was around the right pool. And another thing I like about this man, he stayed there. 38 years, he stayed there until he got his miracle. You can't get nowhere moving around. You have to stay in place if you want a blessing. How you gonna get retirement on a job moving around? You stay there and you will retire early. The reason some of you can't get a blessing early, you leave too soon. Look at your neighbor and say, you retired too early. So you can't really retire early. When you leave early, you can't get your blessing early. You let little things drive you away from God's house. You let little things, people, insignificant things drive you away. You can't get blessed until you make up in your mind you're going to have some patience. This man did not allow nobody to stop him from going to the pool. 38 years, he's kept going back and forward. He could have said, I'm tired of this. Ain't nothing happening. I've been here 20 years, but you never know when your breakthrough is going to come. 38 years, he kept right on going. 38 summers, 38 winters, 38 times, he said, Lord have mercy. 38 times, somebody kicked him back. But you got to stay there until you get your breakthrough. This man was there 38 years. I got a problem why he was there 38 years. And then the Lord spoke to me and said why he was there 38 years. Because those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. See, you got to have patience if you want God to come through for you. A lot of you all are always praying that prayer, Lord, give me patience, and I want it now. But anything you want that's worth having, you got to wait on it. Because good things come to those that wait. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they'll mount up. God will give you wing power. He'll get you get above some mess that mess can't mess with you. God will raise you up on a level that you won't worry about what people think about you. God will raise you up on a level that the devil can't touch it. So your baby says, Satan, you can't touch this. The man stayed there. Get there and stay on your knees until God answers you. When you want a house, stay on your knees if it takes 48 years. When you want a job, pray until it takes 90 years. Why that's so? Because God is a God of timing. You can't hurry God. You just got to wait. If you wait on God, Job would tell you, serve the Lord or pay off. The man stayed there. I'm going to feed you now. So now the man was patient. The man stayed there. and he waited for a miracle. And you know what? I looked at this when Jesus talked to this man. Look at when Jesus walked up to this impotent man. Jesus saw him before he saw Jesus. And Jesus walked up to this impotent man. And why out of all those people that were sick, why Jesus went to this one man? Well, I tell you why he picked him out, because God is a picker. God is in the business of picking out whomever he wish. And somebody said God will pick you out to pick on you. Anybody here know that God is a picker? Some of you, you wouldn't be here today in this church, but something picked you up and turned you around. God is a picker. I'm in this pulpit today preaching the gospel, not because I wanted to be, but God is a picker. Some of you are preaching today not because you wanted to preach, but God is a picker. Some of you are on them instruments tonight not because you wanted to be, but God is a picker. Some of you are deacons tonight not because you thought you would be, but God is a picker. Some of you have gone through some storms in life and went right through it because God is a picker. He picked you out. He saw Zacharias climbing up a tree and picked him out. I said, come down. I'm going to reside in your house. God is a picker. He picked out Abraham and told Abraham, you will be the father of a great nation. He picked out Jacob and wrestled with him all night long and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. God is a picker. He picked out David and let him knock down a giant with a smooth rock. Am I right about it? And he said, he anointed my head with oil. He picked out Paul on the Damascus Road, going to persecute God's people. God picked him out. Oh, yes, he did. He picked 12 disciples and made them missionaries. God is a picker, and he's picking somebody tonight. God is picking you out. He picked up Job so the devil could pick on him. But when God picked you out, he sees something in you. When God picked you out, he know what you can take. When God picked you out, you are a chosen vessel. When God picked you out, no matter what the devil try to do to you, he can't do you no harm, because I'm chosen. 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 I've been picked out. Been picked out. And God picked him out of a crowd. Some of you been in nightclubs and the Holy Ghost just... Some of you are out there in the world and something just... And out of, when God got something special for you to do, he will pick you out. You don't have to pick a church. God will pick one for you. And when God